We continue with our series, Faithfulness on the Front Line. And we have been reflecting on the fact that when we surrender our lives to Jesus, our character has to change. So we study about modeling godly character. We cannot be the same when we have surrendered our life to Jesus. And then when our character changes, we start making a good work. Everything we do in our lives is for God. So we are going to make a good work. And we said that the problem and the first thing that we are supposed to do is that we don't want to change and our character doesn't change. So we are not going to make a good work. Today, our subject is ministering grace and love. So our character is changing. We are making a good work. Now we are working like today. We saw how God is shaping our lives. And we are going to make a good work, but we are going to be able to minister grace and love. Paul sent this letter to the church in Colossae. We have been studying the book of Colossians. And a church made of ordinary men and women, slaves. Paul never visited this church. But it's interesting that as he sent the letter, he introduced himself in verses 1 and 2. And this morning we are going to reflect in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. And we are going to be reflecting on the fact that we are to grow in order to minister grace and love. Our character hasn't changed. We are not going to do a good job. Perhaps we come to church. We have been Christian for 50 years. For 20 years, but we are not ministering grace and love. We have become religious people, or we are in that danger. And now Paul sent this beautiful letter and start with a thanksgiving prayer. And that is what I'm going to read before we pray this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8 says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing amongst you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit." Let us pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you because we are able to come to this place in freedom. Thank you because we can be called children of God because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we pray that may your Holy Spirit help us to receive something new because we come. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Growing in Christ to minister grace and love. Epaphras is believed to be the founder of this church. That is what we read. That is what it says in chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And in chapter 4 of the book of Colossians, chapter 12 and 13. But Epaphras has gone to Paul because he has to report heretical teaching in this church. And the problem is Gnosticism. Gnosticism was adversely affecting the understanding of people in Colossae. Gnosticism thought that all matter is sinful and that only that which is spiritual is good. Now, they come into conflict with Christianity as to how a holy God could create matter which the Gnostics regarded as sinful. That is impossible, they says. So without defiling himself, so they came with an answer. This was the Gnostics' answer. The answer was that God could not have created matter. Instead, they thought he created an emanation of an angelic being who was slightly less God than he was, who created another angelic beings who was still like God, but these angelic beings, they were not God. And until one was so far removed from God, the Father, he could create matter without contaminating himself. So that was the belief. And now they thought that Christ, Jesus Christ, was one of these emanations of angelic beings somewhere in the middle. No God. He was less than God. Less than God the Father. Now, this particular Gnosticism who have corrupted the church in Colossae has some Judaism there. So they will say, you have to worship these days, you don't have to eat this, you have to dress this way. Paul replied with a wonderful verse in chapter 2, the supremacy of Christ. How you dare to worship angels or stars when Jesus Christ is the Lord of the universe and the Lord of the church? And now as he wants to reply, he gives thanks for this church. And this church gives thanks for three things: for their faith, for their love, and for their hope. And as we studied this morning how to grow to minister grace and love, I agree with the idea that a healthy church, a church who is about to experience revival, have to have these three elements: faith, love, and hope. So we could learn a few things here. So if a church wants to grow in Christ and minister grace, a church must have faith in Jesus Christ. Shall we say it together? A church must have faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says, because we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ. Your faith in Christ Jesus. The first mark of a mature fellowship is faith. The book of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. A church who has no faith will not experience renewal, will not experience blessings, will not experience revival. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, for in the gospel of the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith. A great definition of faith is the empowering of God. God empowers us to believe, to trust, to repent, to hope. Faith is the enabling power of God. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ. Faith doesn't come because we have a liturgy. No, from hearing the word of God. Faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, said Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. What a wonderful reputation to have. A church to have faith. But in the Bible, we hear other churches, the church of Sardis, who sadly have another reputation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 said the church of Sardis was described as being dead. A dead church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 describes another church, the Laodiceans, as being lukewarm. We are just in the middle. But here we have a church known for their faith in Jesus Christ. Not in an institution, not in a denomination, not in a particular church, in Jesus Christ. Paul didn't have to be there. The news has come to him and said that they have this wonderful reputation. Why did they have this reputation? Well, because they really trusted in Jesus Christ. That's the reason why this song this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Are we trusting? Because the key element is faith. Matthew Henry says, faith opens the door of the soul to receive Christ. Faith admits him and submits to him. Faith is the door. Faith is the hinge on which the door swings. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. Faith is the impulse to open the door when the knock comes. Faith is the willingness to invite Jesus in. Impels surrender, which allows the Lord Jesus to become master of the house. Faith. Faith. Why did they have such reputation? Why? Because their faith was a steadfast one. Colossians chapter 2 verse 5 says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see you good order in the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." They were not faithful one day and then they were unfaithful the next day. They maintained the faith whatever the circumstances. Sometimes we have faith one day when everything is okay, and when everything collapses, we stop coming to church. When we are praying and something is not happening, we wonder where God is. That's not faith. So Paul gives thanks because they have a steadfast one. What kind of reputation do we have? It will be nice to hear news from others about our faith, to thanks for the faith of people in Pound Rock Baptist Church. If a church wants to grow in Christ, to minister his grace and love, a church must have love for all God's people. Shall we say it together? A church must have love. Paul says, because we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, and of the love you have for all God's people. The second strong mark of this church, in a healthy church, is that love identifies us. The Lord Jesus Christ, and I love this verse, and I will repeat it, and I'll repeat it, because this is my motto. Jesus is not the words of Paul, it's the word of Jesus. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, not because you are disciple of the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Catholic Church. No, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. If you love one another. If you love one another. That is the mark. And it's my Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us. People are going to know we are Jesus' disciple, not because we have been christening or received communion or confirmation or baptized or members of any denomination. No, if you love one another. It's sad when we go to some churches, beautiful churches. You go to these churches and you worship and nobody say hello to you. Nobody welcomes you. I wonder why Christianity is in decline. Because the mark of a church is that we are to love one another. Love is the fruit of the Spirit, the proof of genuine faith. We read Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 3 weeks ago. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. I am going to paraphrase it. For in Christ Jesus not what we do or don't do has any value. For in Christ Jesus not because we worship in this way or belongs to this church or another church have any value. Do you know what has value? This is what the Bible said. The only thing that counts is faith expresses itself through love. This church was full of love. True faith produced love. Genuine faith in Christ exhibits itself in unconditional love for the imperfect followers of Jesus Christ. It's beautiful. It will be easy in heaven to love one another, isn't it? Because there is no sin. But here, it's hard to love one another. How many of you find it easily to love one another? How many of you struggle sometimes to love one another? Let's be honest. Let's not be polite about it. What? Thank you, brother. 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. We need to be careful if we have problem with some people. I have to be careful. It's the reality. Now, what can we do? Are we exhibiting the love today, you know, in our life today? What can we do? Because we need to, well, very easily. We can be diligent in our love for one another. We need to be proactive to serve one another. You know, if you go into joining a new job, you have to be proactive. I don't think so if you started a new job when you were younger or now that you have to be proactive to learn. So let's be diligent. Second, we can demonstrate our love for all God's people. Take advantage of the meetings together. Don't forsake. Please, meet together. If you find it difficult, someone join more regularly with that person until you master it. Or the third one, like Paul says, we can ask the Lord to help us increase in this. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Let's pray, Lord, help me to love this person. Because if that's not happening in our churches, the church will not grow. The church will be on decline. Will be like the church in Sardis or Laodicea, dead or lukewarm. Sadly, this is not real in many churches. And this passage tells us clearly that if we want to proclaim grace and love of Jesus Christ, we need to have faith in Jesus Christ and love all God's people. Now, the third thing that we read here is that church must have a sure hope of heaven. Shall we read together? A church. They said the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1 verse 5. They say, we find hope the last of three. These three qualities. In the first part of the verse, we read, you know, how Paul talked about faith and love. But here, they said, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, you already heard in the true message of the gospel. When we talk about hope, it could be subjective or objective. Here is objective. It depends on the circumstances. Here, it denotes the things hoped for. The reference then is the glorious reward that is the future heavenly blessedness of the people of God. That is our hope objective. Faith, but faith and love is spring from hope. Confidence in what God will do in the future. Let me explain this. All of us, we share a mutual love resolved from our common hope that is stored up for you and for me in heaven. So faith rests on the past. In the present is love. And hope looks to the future. Hope sees the mystery of God. We don't know. I don't know how heaven is going to be. I don't care if it's, some people say, oh, you know, how much gold is going to be about my mansion in heaven. I don't know, it's a mystery. But I know it's going to be beautiful. Amen? I know it's going to be beautiful. So hope sees mystery of God. Faith makes them ours. And love gives them to others. I'm not selfish. I'm going to share it. Because God has laid up hope for us in heaven, we can have full confidence that we are going to be okay. Hope makes us all different because we have confident expectation that everything is going to be okay. I trust in the Lord with all my heart and I will not lean on my own understanding. I know it's going to be okay. So Paul is talking about their hope, the people in Colossae. So their hope, he said, first, is a securely stored up for them in heaven like a treasure. It's a treasure for them. And Paul says, second, the Colossians' knowledge of hope come from what? From the hearing of the word of God. which here is defined by the gospel. How they have this hope? Epaphras spoke the gospel, shared the gospel. So they believe, and now they're struggling with these silly ideas. Oh, you need to do that, do that. Don't worship that way. That's silly. No, this is the proper way. That kind of feeling was happening there. So Manoah, they said, your hope came from what? From the knowledge of the word of God. Hence the importance to preach the word of God in churches. Heaven was real to these faithful believers. They knew this world was not their home. They longed to live in heaven because they have their treasure there. You know, sadly, Christian hope or people's hope today, sometimes they say, I hope to win the lottery one day. I hope it will not rain. I hope it will rain. I hope this person loves me. I hope they change in my church. I hope. And some people live without hope. There is nothing worse than seeing someone grieve because they have no hope. Christian hope is not just a world's wishing. No, no, no. We have the assurance that we are going to be all right. The word laid up is the Greek word, whatever the pronunciation is, that one. Means saving deposit. Saving deposit. Or it could also mean stored up or reserved. My hope, and hope is your hope, is that it's not simply for this life, but in eternal life. One scholar put it like this: a solid fellowship will have hope in its heart as the absolute expectation of coming good. Hope says, sure, it's tough down here, it's hard down here, but this is the worst it will ever be. The coming of Jesus Christ is nigh, life is short, we are going to heaven. That is hope. A church family, an individual who is focused on faith, love, and hope will be stable and sure. When we have hope and love, if a church wants to grow to minister grace and love, a church must bring fruit amongst them. Let's be reminded. Number four, a church must bring fruit. Paul says in verse 6, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it's been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood. This gospel of truth is what helps us to bring hope. People are saved because we share the gospel with them. People are not shared because we are nice people or we are good people. People are saved because we share the gospel with them. God's news for you today is that if you are not resting in Christ, you can rest. Are you troubled today? You are not going to have hope because people in this church are nice to you or Christians are nice to you. No, it's because we hear the gospel. The gospel for the whole world, Paul says, I am rejoicing because it has been preached in the whole world. The gospel that came to the city of Colossae, the gospel that they hear is true for everyone. That's why we help missionaries. They can proclaim what? The gospel. Missionaries go there and they share the gospel. We are called to share the gospel as a church. But it is sad in our time when the world come to see the church, they don't find faith. They don't have love. They don't have hope. They don't find hope. They find a club sometimes. And sometimes churches are competing with the social services. They want to be nice to people. We don't want to upset that person because that person, you know, will do that. We don't. Paul is saying the gospel of truth has been preached. That is going to change us. What was the key to bearing fruit? He said, just as he has been doing among you since the day you heard and truly understood God's grace. What was the key? The gospel. The gospel. By knowing and understanding the grace of God, they were properly motivated when we understand how much Jesus loved me, I will be able to share that message. It's not because I have to be careful and to be politically correct and not to accept that. No. Understanding that Jesus died for me and that I am to love that people and to preach the gospel. According to Romans 1:16 says, you know, that the gospel is the power of God. The gospel is alive, growing, spreading, bearing fruit and spreading some more. When the gospel is heard and believed, life changed. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Paul is so plain. They say, hey, preach the gospel. Repent and leave. You know Gandhi? Gandhi was invited to in America to one Christian church. He was invited to a service like this. And he was observing Christianity. And I think he received the gospel, perhaps reading. And you know what he said? This is what he said. You Christians look after a document containing enough dynamite. You see, the same word of the power of the gospel. To blow all civilization to pieces, turn the world upside down and bring peace to a battle-torn planet. We are living in a battle-torn planet. Manchester bombing. Tomorrow we don't know when it's going to be, where it's going to be the next one. In Egypt, many Christians have been kidnapped and killed. But Gandhi is saying, you have the power to turn the world upside down. But you know what? But you treat it, the Bible, as though it's nothing more than a piece of literature. And we, in our society, we try, oh no, now the society says this. The Bible have to be careful. You don't have to share that. That's what the Bible says. So we don't have the power. Lives are not changed. My life is not changed if I do not trust and obey. And we are worried. What to do? What method to use? Let's spend a little bit more of what Paul is trying to say. I'm conscious of the time, but let me try to finish what is in my heart. Paul is saying the gospel is a bearing fruit power wherever it is preached. When you share the gospel with somebody, it's power. So you know why? Because the word bearing fruit is, again, that difficult word there. I will not dare. I don't quite good on Greek, so I will not pretend. So what? I'm going to put it in English. I could put it in Spanish as well, if you want. But so this word, when Paul says this word is bearing fruit, denotes that the fruit is not bearing born by anyone, but rather it is the fruit which is causing itself to be born. Amazing. That is what is happening when we preach the gospel. You know, in other words, Christians who are not growing in the word of truth will not be constantly increasing in bearing fruit. If you are not experiencing fruit and you are not growing, I can guarantee you that there is nothing wrong with the power of source, because the gospel will grow. I like this explanation from one scholar. He said, shall we read that together? I'd like you to, you know, let's read together those two sentences. The gospel I would like to have that kind of planting in the garden. I don't have to water it. I struggle. I need some help with gardening. And if you give me something, it will die, so I have to learn. But the gospel, what happened with the gospel? The gospel is essentially a reproductive organism, a plant whose seed is in himself. It grows. Let's leave the gospel. Second, the gospel conveys the knowledge of God's grace in all his truth. You see, when we have you seen videos from the church in South Korea? Churches of 120,000 members. Churches that they have prayer meetings 6 o'clock in the morning, and they are queuing up outside to go into the church to pray. If we say we are going to have a prayer meeting 8 o'clock in the morning, say, oh, that's too early. And some people in soft, I was crying when I had seen these videos. And some people, it's not that they are lazy people, They are up 4 in the morning driving to get to the church to the first service in order to go to work. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is the gospel in action. And we should learn. The gospel conveys the knowledge of God's grace and truth because they have understood how much God loves them. It will be wonderful. We have our first prayer meeting together the Thursday 8th here, 7:30. I pray that we will be praying together. Saturdays in the mornings is open for prayer. Spend some time in prayer because our lives, our families, our society will not experience the revival if we don't pray together or pray on our own. If a church wants to grow in Christ to minister his grace and love, a church must be inclusive. Shall we say it together? A church must be. He said, you learn it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. God's plan has always been to use human instruments to bring forth the gospel to a dying world. Epaphras was a faithful servant to spreading the seed. He wants us to be faithful. God wants you and me to do it. It doesn't matter who you are. Oh, I am too old. Oh, I am too young. I don't have so much knowledge. No. And this was, he started giving thanks for this church. And the word thanks comes from the word Eucharist, which refers to the Lord's Supper. Like every time we come to the Lord's Supper, like this morning, is that we give thanks for what Jesus did for us. He gives thanks for these people. They have agape love. And that's what God wants us to have. That kind of love. The world has a flawed view of love. I love, if you love me, I will love you. As long as you love me, I will love you. As long as you do not act unloving to me, I will love you. As long as you don't decide not to love me, I will love you. However, agape love says, I will love you because God loves me. Love is not a feeling, it's an attitude and actions. We decide to love. Our agape love is not reactive, it's proactive. My friends, as I conclude this morning, we have this trilogy of virtue: faith, love, and hope. Do we need to begin to grow? Maybe you are here and you are not a believer. Let me tell you something. Our lives will not change because we are nice people, because we are good parents, because we are good neighbors. The world is full of good people. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and he will make something beautiful in our lives. But we need to surrender. Do you need to begin your growth by accepting Christ? Or maybe you have been coming to church. Do you need to grow more to produce more fruit in your life? Do you want to grow in Christ to minister grace and love? May the Lord help us to consider this church, who was known because they have faith, they have love for all God's people, they have hope, and they were producing fruit. May the Lord help us to surrender, to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. Maybe you are right. May the Lord help us to minister grace and love to this dying world.